Let's pray. Father, thank you again. We have this privilege of being in your presence, recognizing it, Lord. We never want to take you for granted. We don't want to be like old pennies worn smooth without any edges, any dates, much face. Just want, Lord, to be sharp and clear in your image. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for the time, the commitment they've made. Lord, make it profitable for them tonight. We're not here just to blow smoke. And so we ask for your kindness that will be applicable and truth for what the needs are, what the questions are. Not that we stack it up, Lord. It's not salvation by information. But, Lord, it's growth by impartation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you'll permit me, I'll erase the board.
Okay.
Whoops. And go from there. Now, again, we have some of you who've had me about three times on this, I think. Plus, you've listened to my preaching, so I'm going to expect you to do some teaching tonight. Don't run out the door. What time you should be teachers, Hebrews says, you are now, how's it go, Hebrews 6? What time you should be teachers, you are in need again of milk or something, or bread, whatever it is. Anyway, you should be farther along. First of all, does anybody have any questions on the work and fullness and person of the Holy Spirit? Do you have any questions you'd like to ask? I don't know if I see him, I'd like to ask that question. Any questions? That's a one. Because I like to answer questions that you may have, otherwise I want to scratch where you're itching. Yes.
I have prayed for people again and again and again to receive the fullness of the Spirit, and there's been no manifestation.
Yep. Okay. When to pray for people. When and how. Very important. When and how to pray for people to be filled. Okay, any other questions? Mary?
How do you explain to somebody that is not born again what exactly...
That is not born again?
Yeah.
Okay.
What the indwelling of the Holy Spirit really is, that they will understand.
Okay.
Because like the gifts of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean anything.
No. Does it mean anything if they're not even saved? Do you have people who aren't saved who want to know about fullness?
Oh yeah, lots. They ask me, you know, like, why does your church believe in tongues?
Okay.
And then I'll talk about, well, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, then they want, you know, they just, I don't know, they just don't
need it. That's okay. I love any question the sinner asks. Now, I'm assuming that you're all comfortable here. Okay? Yes.
International students, when you explain prayer language to them, it's just so confusing to them.
Your question, therefore, is?
The question is, how to explain to internationals about prayer language and how to pray for them to have them receive it.
Okay.
Prayer language, generally.
Okay, I'm glad to speak to these. Anything else? Yes. A bit louder.
As far as between the prayer language and speaking...
I'm going to talk about that because it's very important. Prayer language, gift of tongues, we're going to talk about that. Thank you. He's already indicating this is going to be a dry lesson. I know a subtle hint when I see one. When I taste one. I'm already on the rocks, okay? So that's my Tuesday night. I'd like to tell another funny joke. Good.
About being refilled?
Yeah, what about it? I believe
so
in
where
it.
Where does it go to be refilled?
How come you can be refilled?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you minister it out.
It's the oil.
Yep, we'll talk about it. This is all good questioning. It's not very good F. I told you before, I was told that joke before. I got to remember where I told half these stories and I repeat myself. Another question. Any, all, or everything? It's a pretty good start here. All right.
Maybe this goes along with the first one, but when you pray for people, like for salvation, is there ever a point really where the Spirit will release you from praying for them?
Release you from praying for them?
Not really pray for them anymore.
Yes, that's right. That's an important question. Not quite on here, but it's certainly, yeah, it's the Spirit's work. Let me put...
I mean, I'm not saying you put a time limit on someone, so...
No, hey, I know exactly. I think I know exactly what you're saying.
It's like family. That's a biggie, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just say here, yep.
And you don't see...
It's, gee, try again, will you? Okay. Prayer and release from the Spirit. Okay, anything else?
How do you answer those that say the gifts died away with the apostles?
Okay, that's how long do you want to be here? I do want to, age of gifts, okay. I do want to speak to that, and I can be more precise than I have been if I need to be. Okay, anything else? Yes.
I have trouble distinguishing my own mind to where I can explain it to others the difference between word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. I know they're
okay.
Different,
but to me they're so similar. Okay.
Anyone? I know that last year in the class either you or your wife explained to us the whole theory of dispensationalism, where it came from Scotland or something.
Yeah, I'll do my best to draw it out. You ran into a lot of it. Anything else? Ran out of gas. I'm going to run out of answers if you keep going. Alrighty?
I don't believe that.
Did I do it? No, let me just tell you something. As long as you stay inside the limits of a man, you'll think he's unlimited. Every once in a while, I want to. With you, take a half a day off and explore the vast areas of our ignorance. There's so many things I don't know anything about, not a thing. But if you keep asking me questions in my field, you think I know a lot. And I try to know a lot about my field, but there's so many other things I don't know a thing about. I mean, I'm just not even funny. I'm computer illiterate. And I am now coming to the point of repentance on that. Realize that I haven't told Mort yet, but I'm going to get one of those things. Yeah, drop your jaw, right? I'm the only one on the pastoral staff doesn't have one, doesn't want one. My ignorance is chosen, and I have purposely kept from knowing how to run certain machines in the office because I don't want to know. If someone comes to me, I don't know how to run them. You can ask somebody else. I'm trying to evade. Oh, Pastor, you in there? Knock, knock. I'm about ready to leave. Yeah, but can you run, get off 20 copies? I don't know one thing about it. Smile. Come tomorrow. So now that's kind of dumb, but it's also kind of wise. it is. It's dumb and kind of wise, too. It's both, Debbie. But for computers, if I'm going to live in this age, and I do live in this age, I gave up using butter churns last week, so I'm making progress. All right. You do have to live in this age. I won't even know what, I mean, I know what they do, but to know how to do it, I could unwrap the box. That I know to do. Okay? So just to let you know what I don't know. I'm going to have to learn. I went down to the library, and I said, get me. I haven't been in the library for about 2 years. I went, I said, I said, I'm trying to look this up. I said, where's the card file? They said, card file? There's no card file here. I said, where's the last time I came? Oh, it's on a computer now. You go over there and you start, huh? Still pounding, do, bit, bit, bit. So she did it for me. She took her 5 minutes to find it. Push this, push that, push this. No, no, try this, try that. So I've got to repent and with a humble heart approach the monster and see what it teaches me, okay? Okay, here we go. When and how to pray for people to be filled. Just like you learned, I do have a projector. Where'd that overhead go? Right here. Pop it out. I'm going to use it. Thanks so much, Robert. Appreciate that. Just as you learned how to, well, I'll show you. Let's switch my stuff over here. Okay. Did I tell you when swimming became the favorite sport in Scotland?
No.
I didn't tell you that. When they started building toll bridges. I like it. Hey, I'll tell you another one. Just, I get tired at night, I get silly. Do you know how they take a census in a Scottish town? They roll a penny down the street. Okay, I'm done. Okay, just while tape recorder, the elders will fire me. Okay, now, this you've seen, I hope it's in your sleep and in your bones. The purpose of these steps is to find out where people's hearts actually are. And for years, I used to try and get people to accept Christ here when their minds informed here, but their hearts were here or here and here and never there. So I'm throwing them up to get faith. I'm throwing them up to confess Jesus. I'm throwing them up. And in my first church, I found out I threw about 10 people up and everybody rolled back down except one. Or whatever it was, 5 out of 63 to be exact, 5 out of 68. I did the best I know, but what I knew wasn't best. Because I didn't know then how to find a way to find out, not only just to inform their minds, but to find out where their hearts were, and that's why the steps are there. And so if we get people under conviction but not willing to repent, they're not ready to. But we have, so someone was sharing, you've sowed the seed in that lady who's sitting on the bench, and she knew a little bit about God, and her husband knew a little bit about God, and shares up life with her, and she gets up to here, and she runs out of gas about halfway up, and that's good. If you get a confession out of her, it won't be worth the paper the track's written on. Tell her all you can, share all you can, pray all you can, love her all you can. That's where she is. And that's where reality is for them. If we try to get them to say they have something they don't have, they'll think Christianity is a joke and a mockery. So if this is real, they know that's real. If they're uncomfortable about their sins, they're uncomfortable about their sins, and they know it. It's not a joke. That is a resounding inner reality that corresponds to the words we're talking about. If there isn't an inner reality corresponding to the words we're talking about, you lost them. Stole down. You left your angel. They're back there somewhere. Go back and find out where they are. That's all God expects you to do. Take them as far as they'll come. When they stop, you stop. Try and bring them up. They don't. That's where they are. Now, let me show you something else. Since this is, let me give you a quick review. I want you to answer me now. One, raise your hand. Suppose you say, okay, you show me the steps. You say, okay, what step are you on? I say I'm here. What do you say? Give me one. Raise your hand so I don't want everybody saying it at once. What would be your response? Because these are the bridging questions which I hope are in your bones and in your marrow. If I'm here, I'll say, well, I'm right here. What would you say? Volunteers. Yeah, Robert? You say, well, you look one line before that. Thank you for your honesty. Appreciate your openness. Do you have a hope to go to heaven? All right, that'll help to get you. Say, yeah, I do. Okay. And that's not bad. Suppose I say I'm here. I'm concerned. What's your next reply? What's your bridging sentence? Always thank them. You're going to say what?
How concerned are you?
Again?
How concerned are you?
Going
to have to do something?
No, I'd say, well, gee, I appreciate your concern. We wish more people were. Let me ask you. They'd say they're concerned. I say, I'm so glad you're concerned. We wish more people were. Let's look at the next step. Maybe you're halfway home. Let's take a look. He's there. I don't fool around with him. I'm just trying to find where he is. But I want the bridging sentences. Most people choke when they don't. When somebody says, well, I'm on this step. Oh, what do I say now? Look, unconcerned. I'm glad you're unconcerned. I said glad not many people put themselves. Three people put themselves there in all my life. Many more were there, but they put themselves here. They were afraid to tell me they were unconcerned. That's okay. I don't fight with them. Appreciate your honesty. Let me ask you, do you hope to heaven when you die? Yeah, most people have that hope. What do you base yours on? We're going to get right into the law. They say, I'm concerned. Well, I'm glad you're concerned. Appreciate that openness. I wish everybody was concerned. Let's take a look at the next step and see. Maybe you follow along than you think. Boom, conviction. But they put themselves on conviction. Okay, you're going to say, always be glad. I'm glad you're there. We'd like to have more people there. Do you have a hope of going to heaven? Yeah, what do you base that hope on? So when you have these bridge over sentences, you're not going to have a problem. It was just easy flow. Thank you for your honesty. We wish more people are as honest as that. If you put yourself there. I've never had three guys in 50 years, 40 years. Don't worry about it. If they do, thank you for your honesty. Most people wouldn't be that honest. Let me ask you, do you hope you go to heaven when you die? Yeah, what are you basing on? What's your hope based on? Well, I try to be a good guy. This fellow, so glad you're on concern. We wish more people were. Let's look at the next step. Maybe you're halfway home. Conviction. Okay, the guy says, this is where I'm at. So glad you're under conviction. We wish more people were. Let me ask you a question. Do you hope to go to heaven when you die? Boom, into the law. Very few people put themselves there. I've had maybe, I'm not talking inside the church. I'm talking outside the church. Maybe two or three I can remember all my life. But a lot of people here. They put themselves here. So glad you have saving faith. Let me ask you, when did you come to repentance? Well, what do you mean? Well, let's take a look at it. And I show them, when did this happen in your life? Well, I don't know if that ever happened. Well, fine, let's go back down here. Do you hope to go to heaven when you die? You can stop, you get them coming from the top, you get them from the bottom. Review, take a step up to life, so you'll feel perfectly free. I can witness without step up life being within 100 miles of me. I have those truths in my heart. I don't have to have paper. The paper's for them. I know what it is. It's also for them when I leave. They can read it. I don't need it. If I have one, I will use it for their sake so they can see it, follow, visually helps. When I leave, they've got a visual copy. Now, I did that just quick review to show you the most important things is you know your bridging sentences. And the question always is, if you get stuck, do you hope to go to heaven when you die? Well, yeah, it's wonderful. What do you base that hope on? I try to be a good guy. 99.9 people say I try to be a good guy. I do the best I can. I don't beat my wife. Da, 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 da. Well, wonderful. Have you ever heard of the God's goodness test? No. Well, it tells us if you're good enough, you go to heaven. Would you like to take that test? Right here, if you know right now, if you're that good, you know you're going to heaven. Wouldn't you like to know? It won't cost you a penny. Boom, 10 commandments. Fail them on the commandments. Say, now, since you're not going that way, how are you going to get there? I don't know. And into it. This is not a step up to life. Now, but we do have another step. I'm built with steps, okay? When and how to pray for people to be filled. Okay? First of all, I want to know I'm dealing with a real Christian. Not just a church person. They love the Lord. They know it. They know they're saved. And they're born again. They may not know much about Lordship formally, but you know they give evidence of being born again. They love Jesus, and they want to serve Him, and that's good. So first of all, are they a Christian? Secondly, do they see the fullness of the Holy Spirit as in the Word of God? So they read a tract by Dr. So-and-so that says it doesn't exist. It's not going to throw them. It's not Murdochology. It's not Trinity Churchology. Do they see it in the Word of God? Okay, very important. Now, it took me probably about 14 months, I was already saved, to get from here to here. It's not going to take other people that long. It just took me that long because I had a lot of questions. You know me. And I had to find out, first of all, is it in here? Most people will believe it when you show it to them. You won't have to go through it like me and unlearn some things. Do I see it in the Word of God? That's where we have our guideline sheet for fullness. Now, do you see it in the Word of God? Once they see it, it won't make any difference. I say, if I deny it tomorrow, it won't shake you because you've seen it in the Word of God. Now, they don't have to have 20 verses. We show them, be filled with the Spirit, and they say, well, I believe that. Okay, you believe that's in the Word? Yeah, fine. But that's for you people, and you've seen the sheets we have in the life of Paul, life of the Samaritans, Cornelius, da-da-da, and I can show it to you in a minute. Do you see it in the Word of God? Do you see it's for you? It took me a long time to realize that God would fill me, though I was out in a little country church in my first pastorate with 50 people, give or take. And I had to be ye filled, the King James says, and to find out I was a ye, so I could be qualified, quote, to be filled. Be filled with the Spirit was written to Christians. So I was a born-again person, but I was not filled, and I came to the humility I needed to understand I wasn't. There. Number four, are you hungry to be filled? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, not saved. They're already saved. They were saved in the first beatitude. This is the fourth beatitude, and therefore it speaks of being filled with the Holy Spirit after conversion in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes. So, yes, I love Jesus. I want him to be my Lord and Master. Fine. Yes, I see being filled with the Spirit is in the Word, whether you use the life of Paul or Ephesians 5:18, so for them to see it. Do you believe it's for you? Well, sometimes I think it's for Billy Graham and big missionaries and George Verwer and the elders and the pastors, but not me. I'm just a little old me. Well, it is for you. Christ died for you and he died to fill you. Is it for you? Do you see that? Now, some people have no trouble and keep coming right up the steps. Where they stop, I stop. This is a reality check. Just like Step Up to Life is a reality check on being saved, this is a reality check on spiritual pregnancy before we lead people into fullness. And I've done like you. I pray for people sometimes way back when they weren't filled, or they got filled on my faith, and I'll talk about that. And that's not as good as they're being filled on their faith, because then I'm kind of their assurance, and then they're going to come back to me, then they're going to get refilled, and I'm the guy that was there. I'm going to tell them, God's going to answer your prayer and fill you, okay? And sorry, are you hungry to be filled? Yeah, how hungry? Well, I'm pretty hungry. Well, can you wait a year? Well, if you tell me, I said, that's not what I mean. They think I'm telling you, you ought to wait a year. No, I'm trying to find out where they are on the hunger level. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's hard to be thirsty very long in America. Nobody lives more than 30 feet from a water cooler, I hope, just about. Or else they're carrying it with them. It's on their desk. It's 2 feet away. Slug, glug, glug. All right? But go to some hot and thirsty land. We're down in southern Israel, going down toward the desert. And it was so hot down there that they put salt tablets in the nurse bottles for babies to make them thirsty so they will drink water. It was hot. Woo! Now, you can get thirsty down there. The psalmist talks about a dry and thirsty land. You look over that parched sand and rock where they started into the wilderness wanderings. I thought, oh, no wonder the children of Israel complained. This is terrible down there. We looked down and saw six or eight men. They looked about this big. We were way up on a fort that had been built by the Crusaders in the 1100s. And these little men look about this big. They're way down there. And it was an Israeli military patrol out there just making sure the Syrians or somebody else didn't cause a problem. And those men all have a bunch of water with them. Now, hunger and thirst, that's what they got to have spiritually. And God puts that into people he's going to fill with the Spirit. Now, they can be very hungry, even desperately hungry. And I said, praise God, God's giving you that hunger. I'll come back to this in a minute. I want to ask you a question. Do you know when you ask God to fill you that he will fill you? Do you know that? Well, I hope so. No, I said, I didn't say that. Well, I think so. And I said, I didn't say that. Do you know? Not if you hope or wish. I know you wish and hope because you got such hunger. Do you know he will? I don't know. I hope he will. Well, what do you think he'll do? Well, I don't know if I'm ready. You can have desperate hunger without faith. And I used to pray for people here. Sometimes they get filled. Sometimes they didn't. I won't pray for them now until they can answer me this. Because I want their faith to function. Any questions so far? All right. Now, they get hearing about fullness, they say, boy, I'll be filled. Well, that's wonderful. Let's take a look at it. Now, let me say one exception to this. And I missed the boat here a number of years ago when Brother Schreier was at his first or second meeting with us. And one day, one Sunday morning, the Spirit of God really fell on the congregation. And he gave an invitation for all those who want to be filled with the Spirit to come over and sit on this side. There must have been 40 people come. And I was like this. This is years ago, 21 years ago now. 96, yeah, and I don't know, may have been it was here, so it would have been after 79. And I was so frustrated because I said, now how am I going to handle 40 people? We used to divide the meeting up. All those who want to be saved sit over there, and all those who want to be healed come here to Brother Schreier, and all those who want to be filled come over here, and we'll deal with you over here. Well, I never had 40 people show up. I might have two or three. I could deal with them one-on-one like I'm talking to you. 40 people, and I didn't know what to do. I know what I do now, but it's a little late, isn't it? I should have said, when you get a move of God like that, I should have said, I want all you people to do something. You're all sitting here. You're all hungry for God. Let me ask you, does everyone here know that they are born of God and love Christ? There might be some unsaved people trying to just go for it. Do you know that you repented and believed in Christ and really love him? You do? Stay right here. If you don't, these dear folks will help you over there. All right, number two, do you understand that being filled with the Holy Spirit is in the Word of God? Do you believe it? Not Murdochology, not Trinity Churchology. You've seen it in the Word. With one verse or with 12, makes no difference. You are convinced it's in the Word. Stay here. Number three, do you see that being filled with the Holy Spirit is for you? This is 40 people now. Do you see it's for you? Not just for Elmer Murdoch, not for Brother Schreier who's paying for the sick, for you, because Christ died for you and he wants to fill you. If you believe that and you know it's for you, stay here. The rest of you, come over here and I'll help you afterwards. Lastly, how many of you here are hungry to be filled with the Spirit of God? Really hungry. And hungry enough that you cannot go one more day. If you can go a day, may I recommend that you do? Because I know when you're going to be filled. You'll be filled when you can't go any longer unfilled. If you can go a day, then God bless you. Just keep thanking God and see how hungry you go, how long. Lastly, how many of you know that when you ask God to fill you right now, you know He will? Not hope or wish or think, because He wants to, but I want you to know. I know when I ask, He's going to fill me. This is God's will for me. He's going to do it now. Now, that's what He wants to do, but do you know that? All those that are there, stay right here. Suppose 35 out of 40 stayed. Now, I still got that bunch, right? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm so smart 10 years later. All right, here's what we're going to do. I want each one of you to just pray to the Lord right now in your own heart and thank Him as you put your hand up as a sign of witness that He's going to fill you right now and you're going to know it. Now, some people, a lot of people have been filled without my going through this. They were naturally hungry. They had faith. Yeah, I mean, boom, God filled them. Or God sovereignly moved down and filled them with a little bit of faith. That's okay. I'm saying my general rule. If I got 40 people out there, I'm going to do it just like I did. All the rest of you, if you know this is true, stay right here. Then I'm going to say, if you know God's going to fill you now, raise your hand and start thanking Him to meet you and fill you and let you know it right now. Begin. And when you know, come and tell me so I can praise God with you right now. While the brother's praying for the sick and they're dealing with the lost, you do that. And when you know God's met you and He's given you peace and assurance it's done, come up and tell me so I can praise God with you and I'll pray with you. That way, then God was like, boom, 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 boom. He'd answer that my prayer, answer their prayer, boom, boom, boom. Instead, what am I doing? I'm trying to apply this, imagine, with 40 people, one at a time. Now, how successful do you think that was? Zero. So this is good for you for 90% of the time. When you get a move of God like that, boom, I would say something like that, but I just make sure. Now, if you still have trouble being filled, come up and talk to me so we can pray for you. When I was talking, a lot would have been filled right then. Someone would have come up, maybe they need a little encouragement of faith, show them God really. See, when people get hungry to be filled, I ask them, were you that hungry 2 months ago or 6 months ago or 2 years ago? No. You're hungry now? Oh, yeah. Where do you think that came from? You didn't put it in there. Guess who put it in there? Who did? Oh, God. What do you think He's trying to do? Suppose Nancy and I invite you to our home and for dinner, and I see you coming up the walk. What do I say? Lock the door, Nancy. Here they come? No. Because my invitation to you is there and welcome you. When God puts hunger in your heart, thirst in your heart, desire in your heart to be filled, that's His invitation to bring you into fullness. He wants to. Christ died for this. And when they get here and they're really hungry, I'll seek to build faith so they'll know God wants to fill them. Okay? Now, if it's a move of God, I'm just going to say, come here. Boom, boom. All right, God bless you. Thank God. Ask God to save you. If you don't know, come and see me. And there'll be many filled right there, and we'll deal with those that don't. That's much quicker when God's moving. You can move quicker when God's moving quicker. And or as He instructs you. Any question? So I'm praying for those. It's like down here, Gwen. Just like on the steps of salvation, I've been getting unconcerned conviction. I was trying to get them to believe in Christ, jump over here. They were making it. So I have, in my desire to get people filled, I want to make sure the setting is in there. We had two people be prayed for fullness a week ago Sunday. I went right up there after class. They came up. We got time. I got 20 minutes. I go right up the steps. Where are you? Said up to here. Fine. Do you know He's going to? When you pray, not me, when you pray, He wants to answer your prayer. I'll stand with you. I'm all for you. I'll pray when you're done. But I want you to ask Him and know He's going to answer your prayer. And they said, yeah. I said, okay, then both pray. And we'll ask God to give the sweet witness to your spirit. He did. With or without emotion. I want the knowing that He's... The witness of the Spirit is the sweet caress of the Holy Spirit on your spirit that you're saved. The Holy Spirit does not get laryngitis when He fills you. If He can tell you you're saved, He can tell you you're filled. With or without emotion, with or without some outward manifestation of gifts. There may be, there may not be. If God gave somebody the gift of administration, it's not going to show up then because He's not running the meeting. If God gives somebody the gift of leadership, He doesn't take over the meeting. But it's imparted and time shows. May I say off to one side, the gifts of the Spirit are manifest according to your involvement with people or projects. Why do I say that? I will say it again. The gifts of the Spirit are known and manifested as you become involved with people or projects. Why do I say that? Please? Iron sharpens iron. Yes. I know what you're saying. What else?
Your spirit testifies with or against their spirit.
Please?
Your spirit testifies with or against their spirit, depending on if
something like what she's saying. That's okay. Something else? Not that hard now. Think on. Why are the gifts manifested when you become involved with people or projects?
That's what?
when you need it. When the car's parked by the curb, you're not going anywhere. I mean, not doing anything. When you become involved in serving, the gifts are the tools, not the toys, of the Spirit-filled life. Kathy?
Well, because the gifts are not for you. They're worn by God and blessed.
Basically true. The gifts are for the edification of other people. So they're given that we may serve others. So when you become involved with a project, which means if they are administrative type of gift, or people, which may be pastoral kind of gift, they become, you may have a mixture, but they start to be manifest when you, it's like a car, you go to the store, boy, you start to move it, and the engine starts, and directionals work, and I mean, I know that does the curb too, but it's, as you become involved with people, then the gifts start to rise up in serving other people. They're not needed when I'm sleeping. They're not needed particularly if I'm just sitting here listening to this wonderful lecture, except I want you to pay attention and learn from it. God may show you something why I'm saying it. So the gifts start to be manifested when you... not instead of, they're supplementary too. So did I answer someone's question? I don't want to go on. Get here, I want you to be filled. Do you know he'll fit you when you ask? I hope so. No, I don't think I've had one person yet. And for years, I didn't know how to do this. I was so frustrated because I didn't know how to get people who were saved into the fullness of the Holy Spirit after they're saved. I knew I was. I knew they should be. And I was trying to say, you ought to be filled. And would you like to be filled? And, well, I don't know if he will. Yeah, he will. And I was just kind of fumbling my way through it. I finally got peace doing it this way because then I can find where people stay with me and where they drop out. Where they drop out, I help them. Help them to the next step, saying, now look, what do you think God wants for you? Why do you think the hunger's there? And then when I find them here and faltering, you can build faith easily from here to here. If they still don't see it, I say, you go home and ask God about it. Go home and thank him that he wants to fill you. Go home and thank him for the hunger until you can no longer be hungry, but you want to know you've been filled. The Spirit will tell you. Questions? Okay, that's how I do it. So I can check. Now, they can come up, take a foreign student. His hunger exceeds his knowledge. I mean, they don't know much. They come in, they love Jesus, and you want to be filled with the Spirit? I like to be filled. Do you like more of Jesus? I like more of Jesus. Well, do you want him to fill you with himself? You believe it's in the word you see, be ye filled? I mean, it doesn't take a 10-hour lesson for some of these people. God can adapt it. But the heart reality is the same regardless of how much they have in their head. Okay? And some of the people you've dealt with, you too, Lynn, where they get saved and then they have to kind of find their way through to fullness sometimes, depending on where they're coming from. Same with American Christians. But I go by the hunger level. God will answer the heart level of hunger and thirst before the head level of information. Some people can have the experience without the information, and a lot of people have the information without the experience. Being filled with the Spirit is not the end of the line. It's not graduating as a senior, it's enrolling as a freshman. It's just beginning. That's normal Christianity. We're just trying to get normal here. We're not high class. We're not high-tech Christians. We're just trying to get normal. So then we get there, try to stay normal. Okay? So, but we've had to make it such a point of emphasis because so many places won't teach you. Boy, when I first started teaching this stuff, and, well, 30 or some more years ago than I thought about, you had a far more opposition than you have now because you've had the charismatic movement that's rolled through here for about 30 years, and that did a lot of good, and that answered a lot of questions, and it split a lot of churches, and a lot of people got fired from denominational churches. But God knows what he's doing, and that's just how it goes. So that's been around. And so people don't agree with fullness, know they got a lot of good friends who are Spirit-filled and may even speak in tongues, and they really aren't kooky, and they may not agree to it, but at least they're tolerant now. Before it was them's fighting words, get out of here. Okay? Any question? Check the heart level. Just like step up to life, step up to fullness. Find out where they are. Encourage them. Pray for them. Show them. This is, draw little steps out. This is where you're watching, Long Gong. Okay? Hope that wasn't his name. I just made that up. Go ahead.
Do you have printouts of this?
Do I what?
Have printouts of this?
No, you're looking at the one and only copy preserved for the Smithsonian Institute. You want copies?
Oh, yes.
Okay. You see me out. Okay, the scripture's on top. Some of them okay. And we have guideline sheets. You've seen the guideline sheets. One side of one paper, questions asked about being filled. People come up and say, what about being filled? I said, here, you do this. Come back and see me next week. One side of one paper. I used to give them a really big assignment. I figure if they're serious, they'll do it, and they'll have it in their heart and in their head. If they're not that serious, I'm not interested yet. I was a tough guy. And it wasn't all bad, but I didn't want to quench the smoking flax either. So I give them a one-line sheet and say, you do the scriptures and find out. Now, sometimes they're filled first. They pray for them, boom, fill home, praise God. Then I give them the sheet and I said, take this home, find out what happened to you biblically so you can tell somebody else. Okay? Those can be available. Now, all of that, that's when and how to pray for them to be filled. God has his happy exceptions. One girl came to me, was right in this, was it this room? No, it was downstairs at 101. Anybody remember when 101 was our prayer room? Right where all the offices are? Remember that? Okay, way back when. One girl came to me, was standing right there when he downstairs. And she's passed, you know, I've been asking God, I'm so hungry to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, God, I didn't even have to touch her. Boom! I mean, have to touch the Spirit of God just fell on her because she was so hungry. Didn't have to touch her. Those are well-born people, well-filled. Now, it doesn't happen that way all the time. Let me say some other things so you don't get the wrong idea. Don't ever try to copy somebody else's experience. Don't expect somebody else's experience. Let God deal with you just like he wants to deal with you, quietly or not quietly. I was as filled as quiet as a sunset. Quiet as a sunset, just this. That was it. But I knew something happened. What was that? What was that? I didn't know what happened to me. Just quiet, just. I was waiting on the Lord, thanking him that he was going to fill me. Now, sometimes you get up to people here, I'm hungry to be filled, and I said, well, then start thanking him that he's going to. Start praising him that he's going to. Well, I've asked him a couple times, he hasn't done it. Keep on thanking him. Say, Lord, this is your business. The only glory you're going to get out of me is the glory you put in me. If you want to wait 2 more weeks to get less glory out of me, that's your business, praise God. If you want to fill me before this sentence is through, praise God, it's your business. And I'm resting in your timing. I'm ready. I'm happy. I thank you that you're going to fill me. I'm not filled yet, but I know I'm going to be. And I remember reaching that point. I'm not filled yet, I said, Nancy, but I know I'm going to be. What was it, a week later? I don't know what it was. I didn't remember days then. I was just going through. So they get to start thanking God that he's going to. I say, I don't have faith to be filled. Do you have faith to believe he's going to? Well, yeah, yes. Do you think he'd be filled within 10 years? Oh, yeah, 10 years. I think I'll be filled by that. Do you think he'd be filled within 5 years? Oh, yeah, I'll be filled within 5 years. Well, what about 1 year? You think he'd be filled within a year? Yeah, I'll be filled within a year. Well, what about six? What am I doing? We think he'd be filled within 6 months? Yeah, probably filled within 6 months. You got faith? Oh, yeah, I can believe that. What am I trying to do? Tell me. Please? Yes, I'm also trying to find out. I'm trying to find out where their faith level is. They believe they can be filled in 6 months. I say, well, that's good. Now, on the side, what's going to be different 6 months from now than now? But I got to get them to now so you can believe he's going to be filled in 6 months. Well, would you think he'd be filled in 3 months? Well, probably. He's still with me. You think he'd be filled within a month? Well, that's a little close. Well, you're going to be filled in 6 months, yeah? Well, what's the difference between now and 6 months from now? I'll be more ready. Okay, what do you mean more ready? Well, maybe he will be. Maybe he doesn't have faith now. What do you mean by that? But I asked him, well, I'll probably feel differently or something. I said, well, tell me what you're feeling. So I try to get him to see, if he stops, it's going to be 6 months. I say, okay, God doesn't want us 6 months. If you do, he won't rush you. You go thank him, you're going to be filled within 6 months. See if you can't shorten the time down. Or they go home and get filled in the week sometimes. Or go home and get filled that day. So you see what I'm trying to do. Press them to the Lord. Be all for them. Say, I want to pray for you. I'm so glad you're filled. Be hungry to be filled. God put the hunger there. He wants you to be filled. But it's when he's made it available. It's up to you to appropriate it. You don't have to wait from God's point of view because the Spirit's been poured out. He's available. Any question? All right. That takes care of this one as far as I'm going to do today. Number two, explain fullness to an unbeliever. Pretty easy. Believers too, by the way. Give them the old glass illustration. Excuse my drawing. Almost like an old Coke bottle. Glass, rather, not bottle. Let's get better glass here. Okay, say now look. Here you are. And if you're not saved with Christ yet, if you're not converted yet and given yourself to the Lord, there's nothing of the Spirit of God in you. You have the human spirit in you, but you don't have Christ's spirit in you. So this is how you are. We all were that way at one time. I was that way for 19 years, so don't put them down. Secondly, when you get saved, and this is the direction to move in, the Spirit of Christ will come in you, and your life will change. You'll know you're saved. You'll know you're saved. You know you're forgiven. You know you're going to heaven. You love the Lord. You start to make changes, and God convicts you of certain things you don't do anymore, and you know you're changed. You know you've begun. You're here. This is the Holy Spirit here. Now, after that, this is when you're filled. You're saved here, but you should proceed to being filled. And when you're filled, he will take your human body, which is like the glass, and he will pour his spirit into your human body as much as your human body can take, with or without emotion, but not without knowing. Like you know you're saved, you can know you're filled. The same spirit that bears witness that you're saved bears witness that you're filled. He does not get laryngitis when it comes to fullness. Now, other things can happen too, but I want to focus on that. Any questions so far? Who asked me that question? Mary, does that answer your question? Simple for me. May not be simple for you for telling the guy you talked to a question.
Well, I guess it was more of explaining, you know, why do we believe in these gifts? Why do we
practice why do we
them? Why do we believe in the gift of tongues? What does that do?
Okay. First of all, it will get back to do they believe the Bible and see why they're on the earth. We believe we're God's creation, created for him to live in us. Now, if you don't have that, obviously, this is a bunch of foolishness. We believe the Bible teaches us we're his creatures, created to be lived in by him. We call that being saved. And we want all we can take of his life, so that's called being filled. And we need his tools, his enablements, to do his kingdom work here while we're on earth. Just like you go to med school, doctor, to pick up the skills, know how to do your work here, you went in without that information, without that ability, you came out with it, now you're functioning right here. So before we're Christians, we don't have the wherewithal of his life or his tools to do his work. So just like you need med school and practice and to do this, so the Christian receives from God his, the spirit of his son and the gifts that his son has, his own abilities transferred to us so that we may do his work, because from here you go into giftings. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that help you? Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, let me know. Okay, any questions so far?
How do you, because I've gotten this before, I see what you're saying, but, you know, when I received Jesus and I was saved, I received the fullness of the Spirit also, because the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're one, so I got it all at once. And I don't need this separate,
That's right.
Radical.
I got it, that's right.
Because I received, you know, the Trinity that we believe.
And that's right, you know you did.
And so
this is what they'll say. The teaching goes like this, is what she's saying. You get the Holy Spirit of conversion, he's a person. You can't get any more of a person than a person's there, so you don't need any more of him, he just gets more of you. Usually that's how it goes. And I say, well, number one, I agree with him. You do get the Trinity of conversion. Mm-hmm. You do get the Holy Spirit of conversion, otherwise you're not converted. You most certainly do. And he is a person, and you do receive that person. That's right. Now, let me ask you, is he a finite person or is he an infinite person? He's infinite. Well, then you could always get more of an infinite person. Elmer Murdoch's in this room. There's no more of him, thank God. It's all right here. But the Holy Spirit's here. He's also in Calcutta and Peshawar and Brasilia and every place else. And he's there at the same time and just as much of. He's not diluted in Ecuador. He doesn't kind of get thin at the edges out in Argentina. And we got the epicenter here. The Holy Spirit and God, the whole Trinity, is any place any other member of the Trinity is. So, yes, you do get the Spirit of God. But, see, they usually say, well, so you can't get more of him. A person's a person. You don't get more of him. He gets more of you. Time out. I'm a person. How can you get more of me? I can't get any more of him because he's a person. And I got him. Well, when he got me, he can't get any more of me. But the truth is, he can. In a sense, is that sure where I'm coming from? Now I'm going to come back. This is a favorite approach. I say this kindly of usually of Bible schools, dispensationalism, Baptists, of which I was ordained Baptist. And this is, you kind of think you got the Holy Spirit when you were saved. There's no more to get. He just kind of gets more of you, and no one explains what that means. And you just kind of ask God for more, and they might even be so bold. I was afraid to use the word Holy Spirit, much less filled, after I was a Baptist ordained. And I mean, those are funny words to deal with. Jesus and God, I can get along with that, and the Father. But the Holy Spirit, I'm nervous. So, number one, I agree with them. You did indeed get the Holy Spirit. And the Father and the Son, too, if you want to get technical. You did get the Spirit of God, and that's why you were saved. Now, let me ask you, and this is my favorite one, because it got me off dead center as a Baptist. I say, okay, do you believe in the conversion of Paul? Yeah. Well, when was he converted? 9 times out of 10, they'll say, in fact, 10 out of 10, they will say he was converted when? On the road to Damascus. All right, let's go from there. May I erase the glass picture here? Okay. Watch this now, very important. I've never found a Baptist yet who didn't have to if he lets me explain it, he doesn't stop and think. Okay, here's Paul, unsaved, charging up the road to Damascus. Boom, light shines from heaven. Boom, on Paul, he's on the ground. Okay? You're like, I took art last week. Aren't you impressive? This is, you heard of Picasso? This isn't Picasso. Okay. So Paul, and the Lord, he said, who art thou, Lord? Acts 22. Who are, he really should have said, who are you, sir? Because it was kurios, but he didn't know it was Jesus. Otherwise, he'd be saying, Jesus, who are you, Jesus? Well, that doesn't make sense. He didn't know who it was. It says, who art thou, Lord? And they put a capital. They should have put a small L or put the word master. Who are you, master? He didn't know who it was. Who art thou, sir, master, great one? That's what it should have said. Because if he knew it was Jesus, he wouldn't say, Jesus, who are you, Jesus, or who are you, Lord? All he knew is someone bigger than I is dealing with me. Who are you, sir, Lord, great one? And Jesus answers and he says, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Now he knows who it is. He didn't know before. Boom, on the ground. Boom, who is it? Who's talking to me? Who are you, sir? I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Oh, and then Paul says, Lord, what will you have me to do? Now, this is very important for our dear friends that come this way. So once he finds out who he is, the first thing he calls him is what? Lord. First word of the Christian life is Lord. Paul says, Lord, what do you want me to do? Boom. Secondly, notice this now, it's very powerful. Lord, what will you have me to do? Availability. What do you want me to do? A-V-A-I. Avail. A-V-A-I-L. Ability. Avail. What do you want me to do? He didn't say, I have a little plan, Lord. Let's see if we can get together on this one. No. Number three. What do you want me to do? The Lord says, arise and go into Damascus, it shall be told thee. And he arose and went. So what do you got? Obedience. And now, remember, all of this to the hated name of Jesus. He was going up there to mash people who said Jesus. Now he's saying, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Lord, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Arise and go. He gets up and goes, obedience. Number four. In Damascus, who's praying and waiting on God? And God starts to talk to him. Ananias. And Ananias is having his prayer time, and the Lord says, Ananias says, hear my Lord. Isn't that great? The Lord only had to say it once. He didn't have to call him six times. He's praying, Jesus, we bless you. And he says, Ananias, yes, Lord. I mean, just like that. How nice, how nice. No 14 times the phone's busy and all this stuff. Yes, Lord. What do you want? I recognize his voice. Whoa, I'm getting away here. All right. He says, I want you to go and pray for Saul of Tarsus. Lord, I have heard many things he's come to do as evil. Don't send me on this mission. This man's going to tear us up. And Jesus replies and said, you go and pray for him, for he what? He is a chosen vessel. Jesus says he is, not he's going to be. Don't worry, Ananias. Go to him and pray for him, for he is, and that's a present tense, he is a chosen vessel, and that's what Jesus said. If that's the only verse you had, it'd be enough to prove Paul was converted. Now, I'm going to make my point in a minute. All of this is necessary. He is a chosen vessel. Jesus said this. It's all Acts 9, 1 to 17. Please put it down. It's all there. If I'm preaching to a Baptist church and I want to lead them into fullness, I'd come right down the line on this, provided they weren't ready to shoot me or something. I mean, just that they're kind of open and not sure, because I can lead them. They're all happy with Paul. Everyone knows Paul. They like Paul. Number five, Ananias goes in 9:17 of Acts, and he says, "Brother Saul, the Lord which hath appeared unto thee has appeared unto me and sent me unto you, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." But please notice now, I haven't made my point yet. But you're ahead of me, which is fine. He goes in, he says, "Brother Saul." Did they have the same mother?
No.
What's he calling him brother for then?
Because he knew it was confirmed
that he had the same father, but not the same mother. Heavenly Father to both. He comes in and says, "Brother Saul." He said, Paul say, "Don't you call me brother, you dirty rat Christian. I'm going to get you killed by tomorrow noontime." He's not going to accept some Christian calling him brother. So whether they're just brother Jews. Not brother Jews in the light of the context. And I didn't want to go see him. But when he comes in, he's believed his Lord. He said, "Oh, brother Saul." He's talking to his brother in the Lord. Now, what do we got? Five indisputable evidences of Paul's what?
Conversion.
His what?
Conversion.
Conversion. Now, all right, big question. Okay, here we go. We'll get Paul off the ground here now. Paul saved? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right, he went there. This kind of a glass. What glass is he into now? Number two, right? All right. Now Paul has the Spirit of God in him because he's saved and converted, repented, and believed. And Paul himself wrote that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. So we got to show our dear Baptist friends and others of that persuasion. Where is Paul converted? And right about now, they're going to get antsy. You're going to get nervous because the Scriptures will not let you go back on this one. Well, then he was saved. Is that right? Oh, yeah, he was saved. Well, if he was saved, he had the Spirit of God in him, right? Oh, yeah, because everyone gets the Spirit of God at conversion. And it's true. Don't ever back off. Say, praise God, that happens. Wonderful. He had the Spirit. You can't get any more of the Spirit. The Spirit got him. You can't get any more of him. Once you got the person, you got the whole thing. Wonderful. Say, I appreciate that. Let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus send Paul, Ananias, to Paul? Number one, "Brother Saul, the Lord hath appeared unto me, that appeared to you, and sent to me that you might, first of all,
receive
your sight." Ha! You got to get this guy open his eyes. He can't be much of an apostle while he's blind. So we'll get that done. Read the next line, please, mister. This is Acts 9:17. And I say, please read this verse for me. Well, he can see why he got his eyes open. What's the next line? "And that you might be..." Time out. What's happened? This is the thing that got me off dead center. When I saw this, my Baptist foundations were shaken. And it gave me a choice. I either had to have intellectual honesty and spiritual integrity, or I had to blind myself and back off. I was not raised this way. I was not taught this way. I came this way. Brother Parris was the one that first got me thinking about this. Parris Reedhead, he's in heaven now, my dear brother mentor. And I knew when I looked at that text, I had to say, there's something beyond salvation, and I don't know about it. I have to say, well, this was just for the, until 90 AD, or whatever. But Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." Well, Paul wants us to follow him. Well, let's follow him. No, everyone wants to follow Paul. Let's do what Paul did. Be ye followers of me. I'm on the way. So I say, my dear friend, he's saved. He's got the Spirit in him. Then what is Ananias doing here? Well, he's got to be healed. All right, that's true. What else? What did Jesus send him to do? That he might lay hands on him, Scripture says, and be filled. Now, if you got all the Spirit you're going to get here, that's what they say. Well, we were interviewing a guy this past week for a certain position in the church. Dear brother, I asked him a question about the Holy Spirit. He said, "Well, you get filled when you're saved, and then we just kind of grow." I said, "Well, I appreciate your answer. I was just wondering, have you ever done any study on Paul?" "Well, yeah. Well, when was he saved?" "Well, the road to Damascus." "Well, what happened later?" "I don't know." I said, "Well," he says, "obviously you know." I said, "I do. I'd like to have you read Acts 9:17, and you decide what happened to him. Because I don't want somebody coming here who believes you're filled when you're saved. Because in that case, now it happened once to one person in the New Testament, but who was it? It can happen. There's the exception, so I'm not going to throw that out. Who was it?
Cornelius.
Saved, filled, spoke in tongues, all like boom, boom, boom. So God can do that. But the vast majority of times, no way, Jose. Okay? So then they've got to see, now they've got a problem, because we got Paul Welt saved here, coming over here, and now he's filled with the Holy Spirit after his conversion. Ha-ha. Ha-ha. Questions? So I ask, will you tell me what happened? What was the difference? If he was already filled when he got saved, why did Jesus send Ananias? Now, if all Ananias that have come to heal you, praise God, they could hold it. But that's not why Christ sent him. If he got filled when he was saved, then why send Ananias? It didn't happen. 9 times out of 10, it's not going to happen that way. God can do it. I got to show you something. Always showing you something. I'm talking fast. I get excited. Just a minute. Get excited. Get excited. Get less excited. Okay. Okay. There we go. Now, I'm not giving you a once in every while kind of an illustration. I don't have the time because I want to answer all these questions before I'm blown away. Please notice. Please notice. Paul, saved here, filled 3 days later. Wasn't he saved? Of course he was saved. Well saved. I tell you right now, Paul could have gone to every conference in America and given his testimony. He is the only unbeliever we know of in the New Testament who was directly converted by Christ doing personal work with Paul, and Christ didn't have to use stuff up to life either. Okay? Now you say, well, is Jesus a pretty good soul winner? Yeah. He doesn't make any mistakes. Was Saul converted? Yeah. Then did he have the Spirit of God in him at birth? Yeah. Well, then what's happening 3 days later? That's the question Elmer Murdoch had to look at in that little 2-bit study I was in. It was 6 foot by 8 foot. It was so small I had to go outside to change my mind. Every time someone came and opened the doorknob, I rearranged my furniture. And I sat there in that little coat closet, which was the study. And it was a breezeway, sitting there freezing to death, with my boots on in that study, and my coat, trying to say, am I going to be honest to the text or not? Thank God somebody was praying for me, and I said, it's there. It is in the Bible. And Paul said, be follows me. Now, maybe that doesn't mean to you, but when you're a really strong Baptist, and you're scared of anything that says Holy Spirit, you're out of there. And then to look at this stuff and realize, where's this going to lead me? My friends are going to think I'm a kook. But I saw the word. Now, then we begin to study the scriptures. Please notice the exception. Cornelius, saved, filled, spoken tongues, same moment. Boom, boom, boom. Very wonderful. Peter's there. Peter didn't think this is good. This stuff was good for Gentiles. So God gets Peter there. You know how he sees the vision. Cornelius sees a vision of Peter. And Peter's there getting ready for dinner. And he has a vision of all these unclean animals being lowered down the sheet, and God says, arise and eat. And he says, Lord, I've never eaten all these unclean things, ceremonially unclean animals. In the Old Testament, you couldn't eat lobster. You couldn't eat crayfish. You couldn't eat shrimp because they didn't meet the requirements, and I eat them all. But those are food laws to teach us clean and unclean by virtue of symbolism. And Peter's saying, Lord, I never touched a shrimp. I'm not going to eat pork. Horrors. God lets the sheet down 3 times, and 3 times he says, what I've called clean, don't you call unclean. What I'm going to teach you is, don't you call the Gentiles unclean. Peter was to have no truck with any Gentile. He was not to go in their home. No Jew was. He went home, he could be 7 days unclean. He couldn't go to the temple. He couldn't make a sacrifice, all this other stuff. And God says, we're going to break out of here. We're going to make a paradigm shift. See this? Then, of course, the knock comes on the door. Is this where Peter lives? Yeah, we got guys, Cornelius, my master, who wants to see him. And so how many men does Peter take with him? Anybody know? He takes 6 with him, and he makes 7, because in the Jewish court of law, seven witnesses put you beyond all hope, any chance of being condemned. And Peter says, I'm going to go see Gentiles. I'm going to have seven witnesses. And this is crazy, man. But if anything happens, I got my seven witnesses that it was kosher or whatever it wasn't, okay? So he goes in, and while he's preaching, he didn't lay hands on anybody. He's just saying how to be saved. And while he's preaching, the Spirit of God drops. Boom, saved. And now the Lord's kind of saying, Peter, are they good enough to be saved now? Saved, filled, speaking in tongues? How long did it take you to get this far? You're right, Lord. God loves Gentiles. He's going to save them. He's going to fill them. He's going to give them gifts. I can hardly believe it. Yes, Peter, believe it. And you being a Jew of the Jew, when you get back down to Jerusalem, you tell them, I love Gentiles. And get this out of our Jewish minds, that God loves the Jews, and the rabbis taught that the Gentiles were nothing more than fuel for the fires of hell. Now that was a talk about racial prejudice. Now, that's Cornelius, a happy, wonderful exception. Ephesian believers, Paul leads them to Christ the same day, a few hours leads them to Christ, and an hour later, baptizes them, lays hands, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Within the same hour, 12, 13 believers, and you'll find it in Acts 19. Paul, 3 days, Samaritans saved unto Philip, a few weeks for the gospel, for the word to get back to Jerusalem. They send up whom? Peter and John, say it.
Peter and John
come up, and Philip was down there. He had miracles, he had healings, he had exorcism. He taught them how to be saved, and he baptized them. But he didn't lead them into fullness. These are Samaritans. They go down to Jerusalem. Why? Why couldn't he lead them in? He was the Spirit-filled man himself. Why didn't he lead them into fullness? No. Here's Samaria. Here's Jerusalem. The Samaritans were half-breed Jews. Long story, but that happened historically. Jerusalem was the blue bloods, okay? Blue bloods. Not the Crips and the Bloods, but the blue bloods. Almost as bad. They got saved at the day of Pentecost. The church is growing by the thousands. Boom. Persecution hits. Everyone says, we're out of here. Philip goes up to Samaria, starts preaching the gospel. People get saved, get healed, delivered from spirits, and baptize them. But the word gets back down to here, and Peter and John come up. They send them up, say, you better go check that out. These crazy half-breeds, we don't know what they're doing up there. So they send Peter and John, the two best men, and they come up here, and they lay hands on them, and they lead them into fullness. The reason being, otherwise, you're going to have a split church. You're going to have the church of Jerusalem because the Samaritans had no love for the Jews, and the Jews had no love for the Samaritans, and they had no dealings with them. Bad blood. Now in the church in the Spirit, they send these two men up who lay hands on them that they might be filled with the Spirit, so the church is bonded unto the apostles. Now, how long did that take? A few weeks at the most. So what do you have in the New Testament? One exception, saved, filled, spoken tongues at the same moment. It can still happen. But basically, a short period of time between salvation and fullness, it might be an hour, it might be 3 days, it might be a few weeks. That's the longest it ever is in the New Testament. I went 9 years. No one to teach me and no one to help me. I didn't understand it. Someone may have preached it. I never heard it. If I did, I didn't know. And I was too scared, plus. And that's why it was not a problem then. And that's why she's answering the questions, trying to answer questions of people teaching her that. Any questions so far? Yes.
What was the reaction of people around you after you were filled?
Say that again.
What was the reaction of people around you after you were filled?
After I was filled? Well, first of all, I didn't tell my church because they didn't know anything. They weren't even saved yet. But they could tell. My wife said, but the week before, 2 weeks before I was filled, my wife said, you've been filled yet? Because she could tell there was a power coming in my preaching. I said, I'm not filled yet, honey, but I know I'm going to be. And the Lord met me within 10 days, whatever it was. And so I began preaching. And then they said, well, you got to get out. I wouldn't take a deacon ass in from a big Methodist church in New York City. And so they got mad, a little small town, a little small church, you can't believe. Everything gets around. How did I have the audacity, the impossible conceit not to take this woman to church? She was no more saved than the chair, sweet lady and all. So they said, you're out of here. Well, at that point, Paris Reed had been ministering about 2 years, I'd heard him on and off. And Nancy's home church, which was Christian Missionary Alliance, who was teaching us and having Brother Paris, they gave me a call to come and be their pastor. So I went, and it's a long story, but I went. and began to share with a few of my close friends. They believed it, so they welcomed it. So God gave me a break, put me into an environment that was friendly to it at that point. But then my college friends, who hadn't gone through this, they were Baptists like I was, they kind of thought we heard Murdoch's gone kooky or something. And I'd go to one good friend, I told him about it, he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and the other three never did. When I'd go home and visit them in the summertime, one is a staunch Baptist, he won't move, he's there. The other is an open Baptist, well, I guess they're in the Bible, but Doc, he said, no, they're there. I don't know if anyone's going to use them around, but at least he's open. And the other one, they just over their head. So my four closest friends, they still look at me kind of funny, but they like me. We get together, we have a great time. We laugh like a. We have a great time. We laugh like a. We have a great time. We laugh like a. We have a.